We're going to have a wedding this morning. Yeah. We've been talking about Jesus, you know. Who he was and what he was preaching, and we've been in the Sermon on the Mount. And we found out that he preached the Beatitudes and all of those things. Let me get my wedding garment on here. I am not transgender. By a long shot. Jesus taught us the Beatitudes. He taught us, you know, he took on some of the toughest subjects there was. This is what I work for women. Who laughs like that?
Got it right here.
He took on the subject of anger. That's a tough subject to preach on. I preached on it the other Sunday. He took on the subject of adultery. I preached on that the other Sunday. And after adultery, he took on the subject of divorce and marriage. Boy, now, that's a no-no. Preachers just don't, they don't get on that. Too much there. But I want us to see what the Bible and Jesus has to say about marriage. Now, next Sunday I'm going to preach on divorce. But in order to get divorced, you have to get married. What's the Bible say about marriage? Well, the best thing to do is go back when God performed the first one. So I need an Adam and an Eve. Carol and Doug? Huh? Come on up. Aren't you the one that pointed, Carol? We haven't gotten that far yet, have we? Jesse and Cora. Come on up. This is no longer Jesse. This is Adam, right here. Right here's Adam. Over here is Eve. How do you think God performed the wedding? Boy, you're getting ahead of it now, aren't you? He's anxious. I require and charge you both, as you will answer at the dreadful day of judgment, when all the secrets of the heart shall be... Wait a minute, Jesse. I didn't see marriage lesson. Did you go down to the Rose Garden in the Garden of Eden and the courthouse there? And you didn't. Well, how are we going to do a wedding without a marriage lesson? Don't you have to go to the courthouse first to get married? Huh? well, that's not going to work. You didn't know courthouse there. God didn't have a courthouse to go to and get a marriage license to marry Adam and Eve. Huh? Huh? Wait, did your daddy bring two cows to give to? No. Oh, that's right, you don't have a daddy. Oh, yeah, you do. That's me. God. I dare not say that. This happened before the day when you were on a dowry and you had to take, give some cows or this. What do you have saved up so far, Caleb, for your bride? I know Mom's got a go back there. However, I can see you now going to your girlfriend's house. Hey, honey, can you marry me? Will you have this woman to be your wedded wife? To live together after God's holy... Don't you let him forget this. In the holiest state of matrimony, will you love her? Comfort her? Honor and keep her? In sickness and in health? And forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto her. Till you have your first argument? Huh? So long as you both shall live. Wow. Brother and Sister Wright back there last week celebrated 64 years.
Right.
64 years. That's a long time, Adam. Matter of fact, as God, I happen to know, you're going to live to be over 900 years. Eve, can you put up with all of it?
The only man around.
Wait a minute. That's not how it goes at all. Thank you, Adam and Eve. We're not going to pay for this. So today, our ideals of what it takes to have a wedding or a marriage is totally skewed as to what it was when God instituted it. Hello? Today, if you don't go to the courthouse and get you a license and a blood test, I happen to know Garney and Yelma, they lived in Pennsylvania, but they came to Hagerstown to get married because they didn't want to take a blood test.
I don't blame them at all.
Oh! If we don't get the preacher and a marriage license at the clerk of court, at least we can go to the clerk of court and get them to perform a ceremony. And then we're married, huh? According to today, did that work in God's time? Wasn't there? Over in Korea, they have a tradition that the groom gives the new mother-in-law a wild geese or ducks because they're monogamous. You know, you get a pair of geese, they stay together for life better than some people I know. Amen? Well, they've gotten today, they give each other wooden geese or wooden ducks. Symbolizes the intent of the groom. But guess what? That wasn't around when God married Adam and Eve. South Africa, they have a tradition where the parents of the bride and groom light a fire from their fireplace in their house. And they bring that fire to the newlywed's house and light a fire in their fireplace from their homes, starting a new fire, a new relationship. But none of these traditions existed back then. God was starting something brand new. Well, what are God's instructions for the descendants of Adam and Eve about how to get married? We find them in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 through 24. Look at this. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Here's God's idea of a wedding. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. No courthouse, no wooden geese, no clerk of court, no goats or cows or heifers. Simply leave mom and dad. Cleave to your wife until the point that both of you become as one, physically and spiritually. Sermon's over. No, not really. Man and woman was first of all brought together by whom? By God. We didn't have back in that day, even after Adam and Eve, this thing of arranged marriages. By the way, Caleb, I got the kind of the message through the grapevine. Mom and Dad's looking for you, some young lady. You're not going to have a choice. They're going to pick her out. And on the day of your wedding, you will not have seen her before. It's going to be totally brand new. Matter of fact, she's going to be covered from head to foot at the wedding ceremony, and you won't know what she looks like. She may be red, yellow, black, white. Whoever mom and dad thinks is going to be the best fit. You up for that? Boy, that's worth a lot of words right there. That's how a lot of it was done. And is yet today. God brought them together. Well, there's a thing called dating services. You can click on your computer and you can go through a whole list of them. If they don't look like anything that suits you, click them off. If you think just maybe, then you can contact them. And then you can call Pastor Lay to come and preside over your wedding. I think the first thing that God is setting forth here in this message is that if you're looking for a spouse, if you're looking for a partner in life, get on your knees.
Amen.
And talk to God first.
Amen.
God wants involved in this process of who's together. I heard Dr. Cho from Korea, South Korea, pastors a church of 100,000 people there. I've heard him preach. And I remember the story he told about when he was going to get married. He got down before God. He wrote out a list. And he said, God, this is what I'm looking for. And God answered his prayer. He submitted it to God. He didn't know the name. He didn't know who it was going to be. But he gave God the list, and it had to be a Christian girl. Had to be somebody who loved God. And so that was number one here. God brought them together. I want you to notice the picture here of what had been going on with Adam. God made all these giraffes and rhinos and tigers and lions and kitty cats and puppy dogs and you name it, he had made them all. And guess what? They all had partners. All of them. And Adam was naming them off one by one as they came by. He gave them a name. And that's a tiger and that's a giraffe. See, he spoke English like me. But he got them all named and come down to the end, and they were all named and they all had partners. They had some of their flesh. But here he was, he didn't have anything, anybody. And so you know the story. God put him to sleep. First anesthesiologist was God. Put him to sleep. Opened up his side, took out a rib. That's why we men have one less rib than you ladies. What? God took a rib out. Then we had one more than you had. Adam. Whatever. And around that rib, he made Eve. Can you imagine when he opened his eyes? And there she stood, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. He had named all these creatures, and all of a sudden, God had given him someone like him. Not that he could be a boss over. I hear that, amen. This passage of Scripture lays the basis for the relationship between man and woman. This leaving and cleaving laid the foundation forever The union and relationship between man and woman was wrought by God. God created both man and woman, man first, then woman. God brought man and woman together, hallelujah. God established the law of marriage. Right there. That's the way God said it's supposed to be. And I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be some Supreme Court justices stand in the judgment seat of God and hear His judgment of their trying to undefine God's definition of marriage.
Amen. Amen.
The woman was equal to the man in being and person. She was made of the same flesh and blood, the very same material as Adam. She was like Adam in every respect, in the physical, the mental, the spiritual being. She was taken out of man, out of the very same stuff and substance as him. Man was created and formed first, sometime before the woman. This does not mean superiority or inferiority in being or person. It simply means that God had arranged a particular order. God created an orderly fashion. He structured order within the family. He arranged for the man to be first in order of the family and society, then the woman, and guess what? Then the child. Nowadays, the kid tells the parents what to do. That's not God's order. God's order was the man to be the head or the leadership, the director. Marriage is established as the first institution upon earth, the first institution established for society. Listen to this. There are three laws or rules for marriage bond. Number one is leaving the parents. Permanent separation from mom and dad. Now, you mothers-in-laws, get this message from the preacher right now. Don't be meddling in your kids' marriage. You're not a mother-in-law.
I know that. I'm working on it.
The boy and the girl are supposed to leave mom and dad forever. There's never been a time like now when the kids are moving back home. The millennials, they go out and get... Did you see that? They had a commercial on television, the knock on the door, and there stands their boy. The mom and dad opens the door, and there stands their boy, and he's got this wild-looking girl with him. And they come in and say, "We're coming home." And so they move in. No, 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 no. He says they leave mom and dad permanently. You have to move on. Everybody say, you gotta move on. Move on. Let mom and dad have their own life. I asked my neighbor here not too long ago, their boy's away from home now and their daughter just got married. I said, "How you like the empty nest?" "I don't like it." "Brother Donnie likes his. Nice to have your house by you and your wife by yourself, isn't it?" Amen. And every night, you know, an old bear knows better than anybody. She'll have a cub, and after a year, she said, "Time to move on, boy. Find your own territory. Get out there." And so God says, my pattern is that a man shall leave his father and mother. That's the number one priority in getting married. Leave behind mom and dad. Don't expect mom and dad to buy you the car, to buy you the house, to get you out of trouble when you're in the doghouse. Find your own doghouse. Leave, God says. Move out. And now next, in the rule of marriage bond, there is a cleaving to each other. The union is to be intimate and permanent, as lasting as one flesh. The marriage bond is to endure as long as the flesh lives. Brother and Sister Wright, 80-some years old, 64 years they've been one together.
Praise the Lord.
One together.
Praise the Lord.
Brother and Sister Nolan are up 60-some odd years. Can you imagine to be one flesh, to cleave to each other? I remember when Linda and I went to Lee College. We had been dating. We were high school sweethearts. And we had been dating for about 2.5, 2 years. And we went down there and we each got a job in the kitchen. We had to work in order to work our way through college. Mom and Dad didn't have any money for college. So we had to work. And there was this guy in the kitchen that started eyeing Linda. I had a meeting with him privately. I kid you not. I said, "Listen, baby, she's mine. You stay away. You got my message? I might be a preacher, but I'm telling you what, you don't mess with my property." I didn't see any more of it either. I thought somebody would catch up on that. Now, you become one flesh. You think alike. You act alike. Hello? I even think after so many years you start looking alike. I mean, just look at Pat and John over here. They look like they belong together, don't they?
Yes, they do.
How many years?
50.
Yeah. I think you'd be. Wow. There's that cleaving. You belong to each other. You are one together. You unite. You don't make a prenup. If you leave me, you're not taking anything with you. None of that. In God's territory, when you make that choice and you cleave to each other, it's settled. Adam, for 900 and some years. Can you imagine Eve after about 500 babies? Yeah. You wondered how the population got so big right back there so quick? Well, yeah. Linda, how many did your granddad have? 12? We had a lady came here one time, she was only in her 60s, and her mom and dad had 18. Just one man and one woman. And I've heard of these Arabs where they have a half a dozen women. And but see, God made a decision here. There's going to be one man, one woman. That's the definition. That's who God said. God did not make a Steve to match up with Adam. Adam and Eve together. And listen, He made them distinctively male and female. There were no transgender signs on the bathroom door in the Garden of Eden. Better not be any coming in my bathroom. We're going to have trouble. Oh yeah, that's a new one out. They don't identify as either male or female. Huh? There's a lot of psychological problems going on in the world today. These people need the love of Jesus. They need the love of God because things are screwed up here. It's not that God got it wrong. And then our society, and with all audacity, our president decides, you know, he's not like Reagan. Reagan said to Khrushchev, tear this wall down. Obama said, tear this stall down. It's leaving, it's cleaving. And it's becoming one flesh. Man and woman, husband and wife, one flesh. He is to be hers and she is to be his, so much so that they are one flesh as one person. Simply stated, there is to be a physical intimacy and a spiritual union so binding that they become as one flesh, one person in body, mind and spirit. Adam and Eve?
Are you serious? I mean, there's no name.
I just said she had how many children? She probably had hundreds of children. How long does it take in 15 to 18 years, that child is ready to reproduce? So in 15 or 18 years after she had Abel, Cain, the other kids were ready. So they could, back then in that day, without the result of sinful action in the human race, there was marriage of brothers, sisters, cousins, back and forth till the earth got populated.
And where was the land of Nod?
Up close to Iran, Iraq, in that area. So it wasn't all that far. The land, the Garden of Eden, was in the country of Iraq. So they didn't have to go too far. It wasn't all that far that they had to go. What time are we here? I got 5 minutes yet.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Two significant things about the family as an institution. God established the family as the first institution in society. All other institutions of society find their roots in the family. Government came out of the family when the rules and laws were needed between families and tribes. Government was established. Worship was established from the family. When the need for fellowship with God and instruction of God's children arose, there came worship of Jehovah. an education. The first education was not the one-room schoolhouse at Blue Springs where I went to school. Guess what? It was Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden instructing and teaching their children. The health care came from the family. You didn't go down to the local Allegheny dentist. You didn't go to Dr. So-and-so because they didn't exist. Health care was within the family. So all of that came from the establishment of the family. And how did the family get started? You leave mom and dad. You go to the courthouse. You get a license. Huh? Is that how you get married? No. God says you leave mom and dad. You cleave. I have a friend in the college from Ghana. I asked him how they got married. He said, well, we just prayed, we chose each other, and we got our own house. And in Ghana, you make your choice. You take your wife to your house, and between the two of you, you make a covenant that you're going to live with each other for the balance of your life, and that's how we get married. They didn't go to a courthouse. They didn't have a marriage license. That was how they did it, the way God did it. They cleaved. They left. They cleaved to each other. And they twain became one flesh, committed to each other. Now, I live in the day I live. And the law says you have to get married. God didn't say that, the law. So I stick with the law. I'm not a rebel. And I believe that if we're going to live under the rulership of the government that has come out of the family for the benefit of our society and culture, then we need to live by the law of the land as much as lies within us. Amen? And so I support that. But I'm telling you that the way God defined marriage in the very beginning was just simply leaving and cleaving, becoming one flesh with each other, and that was it. It was settled. But it was a made-up mind for the rest of your life, even 900 years. Remember, you didn't have a mother. Have you heard of Mrs. God?
I have not. And neither have you.
What?
I said, I have not, and neither have you.
No, Adam didn't have a mother. So let's get the idea of what God has in mind for marriage. When Jesus is talking about divorce next week, He's talking about getting married the way God set it up. He's talking about that commitment. He's talking about that dedication, that consecration to each other. And so in God's mind, in Jesus' mind, marriage meant what God set down as an example way back in the book of Genesis. So when he begins to address divorce, he is talking about this commitment to each other, this cleaving, this becoming one flesh. Now, if you've been together for umpteen years and you've not yet become one flesh, let's get it settled in Jesus. Amen. If somebody had been put together by the clerk of court. Hello? If somebody has been put together by two cows or goats, if somebody has been given a wife that they didn't choose on their own, then whoever you're with, get together with them in Jesus. Make a commitment in your life that Christ comes first to join us in our hearts and our souls. We are committed as one together.